morning, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 to 18. And when you found it, don't be afraid to shout amen. Amen. It says, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 to 18. If I ask you all stand for the reading of God's Word. Thank you. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for giving us another day to come and celebrate your name, to come worship you in your house, Lord. I thank you for the faithfulness of these people this morning. I thank you for our preacher. I pray you bless him today. Lord, you put a message on my heart this morning. I pray you'd use it as you see fit, Lord. And as the special comes now, Lord, I pray that you just would prepare hearts with that music, Lord. Give us a good day in all areas. All this we ask in your precious, holy, and saving name. Amen.
As he tried to explain, all he knew was his name. But it was late and beginning to rain. So I asked him about the place where he lived. He remembered the old church, the big cross was lit. Then his eyes opened wide, and he said with a smile, if you can get me to the cross, I can find my way home. Show me the cross, and I'll find my
lesson. All right, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 to 18. If I had to give this message a title today, it probably would be called Get Addicted. Get Addicted. Some of you, a lot of you, came and asked me how my trip was down North Carolina. For those of you who don't know, I went down to do a VBS, Vacation Bible School, down there for a week for a preacher friend of mine. Had a good meeting there. If any of you have ever been down in North Carolina, West North Carolina, Asheville area, it's a little different down there. A lot of fun, but a little different, especially when you're soul winning. There's one rule of thumb whenever you go soul winning down in Western North Carolina. If there's ever a gate around a house, you enter at your own risk because of all the dogs. Tons of dogs. One time I was going in his house and there was a fence there. And I said, you know, I'm just going to risk it. So I opened that gate. I know Brother Matt Payne has the philosophy that when you go in a house with a gate, you leave it open. So if you have to run out when a dog comes chasing, you have an easy exit. But I decided to give it all, just give it, go all out. And I locked that gate, closed that gate behind me. And then I saw it, the doghouse. I saw the chain going in the doghouse. I started hearing a I took one step, you know. Here, doggy, doggy. Another step. So nervous. Sweat is pouring down. My heart is beating. Boom, 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 boom. And then I see that dog chain start rattling. I'm like, oh, Lord, please, please. I've been good to you. I tried to write. I'm preaching on Sunday. People need to hear this message. And out from that doghouse comes a humongous chihuahua. Woo! Now, if any of you know chihuahuas, they have the little dogs that they have huge bark. They exert so much energy when they bark, they actually stand up and go backwards. So they're like going, ruff, ruff, ruff. And I'm going closer, he's going, ruff, ruff, ruff. And I'm like, man, this guy's a threat to me. So and then when they're in the back of the wall, they're going, ruff, 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 just standing there, bouncing up and down, barking. And well, it was a blessing. We had a good time down there and good seeing that chihuahua. But my one rule I have that I never break, I'm about to enter a fence house, and before I go to the fence, I see a big dog bowl on that front porch with name on dog bowl saying killer or Satan. I am not going in that yard. I'll throw the track at him. I'll hope praise Lord. God will take the wind to get it on the front porch or something. Anyway, thank you all for asking me how I went. We had a good time. I'll read it again, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 to 18. It says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such as to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. And let's just pray. Father, again, I ask for your power, Lord. I pray use this message to your glory. We love you and thank you. All this we ask in your precious holy name. Amen. Some background here about this time where Paul is writing. Paul was the author of 1 Corinthians, writing to the Corinthian people. And he's admonishing, speaking, or beseeching. When he tells them in verse 15, I beseech you, he's trying to tell you, hey, I'm admonishing you people. I'm speaking to you. Please get this point I'm trying to get across to you. And he's telling the people there in Corinthians, he's saying, he's talking to fellow saved Christians. He called them, you see in verse 15, I beseech you, brethren. He's talking to the fellow saved Christians. He's admonishing those Christians, trying to get a point to them. Now, it's kind of interesting to notice that he starts, if you see in your Bible, there's parentheses there. It's almost like he goes on to an aside or a tangent. Because if you were just to take the parentheses out, it would say, I beseech you, brethren, in verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. That was kind of the point he's trying to make. But in the very beginning of his sentence, he says, I beseech you, brethren. And it's almost like a name pops into his head. Some of you might have been there when you're... Some of you might have been there when you're maybe talking to somebody, you're trying to talk to them, maybe you're at the supermarket saying, man, or you're talking to a friend on the phone. You know, these supermarkets are crazy. It's hard to park in them. And then all of a sudden a thought will come to you. Yeah, you remember that one time when that lady decided to park right in my spot? Oh my goodness. You're trying to make a thought, and just all of a sudden a name pops into you to give an example of what you're talking about. And it's kind of like what Paul was talking about here. He's trying to tell the people of Corinthians here, I beseech you, brethren, I'm trying to tell you something, Christians. I want to make a point to you. And all of a sudden it hits them. The name is Stephanus. You know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. He uses Stephanus and his family as an example of the point he's trying to make. And it's an interesting statement that he makes about Stephanus and his family here. He says, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That word addicted, that's an interesting word. When I was reading through, kind of doing my devotions one time, I was reading through and I came across this message, this word addicted, and it stood out at me. Usually, the word addicted is usually not used for a positive. It's usually a negative. When you're addicted to something, it's usually not a good thing. But in this sense, it was a very good thing. See, Stephanus and his family were very normal human beings. They weren't robots. They weren't deity. They weren't any superpower humans. They were normal flesh and blood, just like you and I. They had flesh. They had blood pumping through their veins. And they were just normal human beings. So are we. And if Stephanus and his family got addicted to the ministry, I'm here to tell you today that we, as Christians, can get addicted to the ministry. We can be addicted to serving God. And if you just give me a few minutes today, I'm going to try to make that point across. Let me start and say, how does one get addicted to the ministry? How does one get addicted to the ministry? For starters, first, to experience the joy of serving God, of being used by God, you need to be a child of God. In chapter 16, verse 15, it says, I beseech you, brethren. As I said in the beginning, Paul was talking to the saved people. Listen, you need to know, if you're under the sound of my voice today, and I have asked you this question, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? If you say, Bro Jason, I think I'm going to heaven, or I hope I'm going to heaven, or maybe I would like to go to heaven, I'll be honest with you, friend, chances are you're not going to heaven today. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Listen, you can know you have eternal life, number one, by believing you're a sinner. Believing because we sin, we broke God's law, and because of our sin, the penalty we have to pay for our sin, is a place called hell. There is no such thing as purgatory. There is no, once you're dead, if you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. If you're not saved, you're going to be in hell. There's only two places you can go. And you have to believe, number one, you're a sinner. You have to also believe, number two, because you're a sinner, what we deserve for our sin is a place called hell. Man, Brother Jason, that's harsh. It's true. Why would God send anybody to hell? Isn't he a God of love? Yeah, he's a God of love, but he's also a just God. And because we sin, we broke God's law, and we broke God's law, we have to pay the price for it. And what we deserve for our sin is a place called hell. So number one, you got to believe you're a sinner. Number two, you got to believe you deserve a place called hell. But number three, you got to believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Good works won't get us there. Being a good person, being part of a religious group. Hey, we're in a Baptist church today, but if you think a Baptist name is going to get you to heaven or a Baptist church, I'm sorry, friend, you're mistaken. You're mistaken. It says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the only way to heaven, man. You want to go to heaven? Jesus said, it's through me. He's the only way to heaven. So number one, you got to believe you're a sinner. Number two, you got to believe you deserve a place called hell for your sins. And number three, you got to understand and believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And if you understand those three simple points, then all you got to do is take that gift he gave us when he died on the cross for our sins, and you have to ask him into your heart as your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're under the sound of my voice today, friend, and you're not saved today, you said, I hope I'm going to heaven, Brother Jason. I think I'm going to heaven. I might be going to heaven. Chances are you're not, because you know for sure, because there has to have been a time and a place when you asked him to come in your heart as your personal Savior. I was 21 years old when I did that in my college dorm room. I wasn't even in a church house, but I understood I was a sinner. I understood I deserved hell, and I understood Jesus was the only way to heaven. I asked him to save me. I took that gift. I confessed with my mouth. I prayed that one-time prayer. But I also believed in my heart. I believed I was a sinner. And he saved me at 21 years old. Praise the Lord. So number one, how do you get addicted? How do you get addicted to the ministry? You got to be a child of God. Listen, there's so much joy in serving God. There's so much. I hear it all the time, especially before I got saved. I heard all the people who are against church. Man, why you go to church? It's so boring. Man, you sit there for an hour and a half, and you listen to some guy talk to you about something, and you're not even paying attention anyway because you can't wait to get home and listen to watch the Giants game. Praise the Lord for the New York Giants. And you sit in church, and it's so boring, you don't get anything, and blah, 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 blah. But that's not the case. As Brother Don mentioned earlier, there's so much going on here at this church, so many ministries. You can't help but get excited. You can't help but have joy serving God. Man, if you wanted to, you could be here all morning, all night, every day, doing something. Praise the Lord, there's so much to do in church. And if you ever heard that lie or heard that someone tell you that, they're not telling the truth. Because there's so much joy in serving God. So number one, how does one get addicted to the ministry? They got to be a saved person, a child of God. Number two, how does one get addicted to the ministry? You need to decide to addict yourself, to submit yourself to serving God. In verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 16, it says, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Now let's go back to the basics. I know Brother Ben Payne took the ACTs here not too long ago, and he was weeping in my office out of what he thinks he's going to get on those test results. I weeped with him because I remember what I got on those tests way back when. So it was a weeping time. But anyway, what does it mean to be addicted? Physically speaking, addiction isn't something that you need to work at or to attain. Pardon me. And usually takes great effort to get rid of. For example, I have in here something. Feel that this. Now we're all awake right now. Oh, coffee. Now I'm ready to go. Did you start your message yet, Brother Jason? Coffee. Okay. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but how many are addicted to this wonderful, glorious, manna from heaven, Java called coffee? No, I'm not addicted to it at all. I just happened to say that. But coffee, and probably a lot of us are. It's that thing called caffeine that wakes us up in the morning, that keeps us going, praise the Lord, day by day. I'll be honest, I drink about one cup of coffee a day. But if I go a couple days without coffee, I start getting headaches. And then 3 days, if I really am really, you know, determined to beat it, then after a couple, 3 days, the headaches are gone. But that headache there are a sign of my addiction to coffee, my caffeine addiction, because I get headaches. It's my body getting rid of the caffeine So physically speaking, addiction isn't something that you need to work at or attain, and it usually takes great effort to get rid of. For example, coffee drinkers are addicted to caffeine. All it takes for us to get addicted to this coffee is simply to drink it. Not a lot to do. Just go to the store, get a cup of coffee, you drink that thing, and all of a sudden, wow, that was cool. And no, just kidding. But and then you're probably, after a few months of drinking that, you're hooked on coffee, praise the Lord. And then it takes a lot to get out of coffee, off of coffee. Some people who are addicted to coffee and stop drinking and get headaches, like I said, and even some get shakes. I never had that problem, but I've heard stories. And if you drink coffee, whenever you pass a coffee shop, the smell alone will start to lure you in. You all know what I'm talking about. You've ever been to the mall before. Okay, you're walking down the mall, and there it is, the coffee beanery. You can be on the other side of the mall. You can be, man, in the next town. But you take one whiff of that bean, ching, you know, it's right there. And it's just the coffee. I don't know. Because why? It's a physical addiction to coffee. It's the weirdest thing. I don't want to get too far into it, but some of us who have worse addictions, maybe got messed up in alcohol or drugs. I know a good man that told me one time he was messed up in a pretty hard drug, and he's no longer addicted to it. But he says, that drug is always one day behind me. What he means is, hey, listen, he hasn't been touched stuff for years, but his body is physically addicted to it, was addicted to it, and he got rid of the dependency for it, but his body will always crave it. For the rest of his life, he has to struggle with it, that physical addiction. And just like coffee is a simple example, because a lot, most of us drink coffee. But spiritually speaking, which is the spiritual side, that word addicted has a whole different meaning. Has a whole different meaning. It's something that you need to work at to attain, but once you get addicted, you will never want to get rid of it. You see, as a child of God, as a saved person, you decide in your heart that you're going to get involved serving God in some capacity. Maybe you come and the Lord, maybe Pastor Angel preaches a message, or you're reading your Bible, or you're praying, and God speaks to your heart. You know, I need to get involved in the bus. Maybe I'll start just helping out once a week. Or maybe I'll start driving a bus. Or, you know, I want to help out in the nursery. Man, maybe I'll just start out once a month helping with the babies. Or this or that. And, you know, if you don't really do it, you're never going to, oh well. But if you determine in your heart to start serving God and get in some capacity, that's where you start the process of getting addicted. You have to determine in your heart. He said again in verse 16 that you submit yourselves unto such. He's saying, listen, Paul said, listen, guys, listen, gang, you have to submit. You have to voluntarily, willingly decide in your heart, I'm going to do something. It's not like the physical addiction where you take one sip of coffee, or if you get messed up in alcohol, you take one drop of alcohol or whatever, where all of a sudden you're hooked. No, a spiritual addiction is where you say, I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to, and no matter if in the first week I get there, maybe I'm in the nursery and all of a sudden I have 20 babies and the other two nursery ladies called out sick, and all of a sudden they all have a mess and you got to clean all that mess up. And y'all know what I'm talking about there, mothers. And that's a big chore. Maybe after the first day you're thinking, man, this wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But if you submit yourselves, if you determine in your heart to do get involved, that one time that it wasn't so great, you're going to keep going. No, you're not addicted yet, but you determine in your heart, you're going to get keep going. So number one, you got to be a saved person. And number two, you got to determine in your heart to get addicted. You got to determine in your heart, no matter how rough it might seem at times. And by the way, serving God is the most excellent thing. I don't want to ever downplay it, because there's nothing to downplay. But we as Christians understand, if you serve God in any capacity, you understand that there are times when it's not the best. There are times when, you know, you're on the bus and it's 120 degrees and the driver thinks that heat means air conditioning and pushes full maximum heat. And so now it's 140 degrees and Bobby just decided to throw open the back of the bus and everything else happened. Man, it's not the best day in the world. But you know what? You keep going. You keep going. That's how you start getting addicted to the ministry. Because you know one day you will get addicted to it if you keep going for God. So you keep doing it and doing it and doing it without even realizing it, you'll get addicted. You ever heard that statement? You don't know what you had until it's gone. Yeah. And I'm not trying to condone or say that someone should stop doing the ministry just to see if they got addicted to it. No. I'm just saying that when you start serving God, you're serving God, you won't even realize you're getting addicted to the ministry, but you are. Because you know what will happen? Something will start happening inside your heart. You'll start getting a burden for that bus route. Man, you'll be on the way to work one day driving and saying, Bobby McPhear! Where'd that come from? He's one of your bus kids. Or you'll be on your way to, you'll be at work maybe doing a job and you'll be doing something at your work, and all of a sudden maybe another fellow person at church gets on your heart. Why? Because you start serving God, you'll start seeing byproducts of getting addicted to the ministry. Because at first you said, I'm going to submit myself. No matter how hard it seems in the beginning, no matter if it's not at first like I thought it was going to be, or even if in the beginning when I start doing it, I don't feel that maybe necessarily feel it getting hooked on something or addicted to the ministry. I'm going to keep going. And you'll start seeing things happen in your heart. Things will start changing in your heart. You'll start getting a burden, a desire, more than you ever had for it. And that's the start of getting addicted to the ministry. That's the beginning. And as you're serving with other Christians, they will help to refresh you and keep you going through the hard times. Because there's going to be hard times, like I said. But in verse 17, it says of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Acacius, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit. Listen, if you're serving with other Christians, they refresh your spirit. I was talking to a man one time, a gentleman here at church. He was telling me, he had not too long ago, we had a long weekend, and he said he went out with his family, and on Friday, a family from the church invited them over to the house for dinner.
And he said, man, I had a great time. I was over the house of another Christian family. We had a good time of fellowship, ate good food, had a blast. And then on Monday was Memorial Day, and his family decided to go out where a whole bunch of other Christian families were and spent the whole day with them. So on Saturday, he went out to dinner and had dinner at the house of one of the Christian family. Then on Monday, he went out and spent the whole day with a whole bunch of families from the church. And then on Monday night, he went back to another family, a different family of the church, and spent a few hours with them, him and his family. So in a weekend, he was around a whole bunch of church people. I was with him the following Saturday. We went out soul winning. And man, he was pumped. Man, Brother Jason, that was awesome, man. I was out. They came to the farm. We had a good time at that family's house. And man, we had a blessing. And then Monday, we went out another family, and it was a blessing. And then Monday night, we were at a third family's house. And man, it was a blessing. Man, he loved it. He said he couldn't get enough of it. Why? He was getting addicted to the ministry. You know what happens when you invite people over your house to dinner? You know what happens when you have other Christian families around you? Number one, you yourself get addicted to the ministry because you get the joy in your heart, but you're helping other people get addicted to the ministry because you're getting the joy in their heart. And praise the Lord for it. Listen, you never know how you refresh somebody else when you be a blessing to them. You have no idea until you get to heaven. Because not everybody's going to go and come up and tell you, man, you were a blessing to me. They praise the Lord if they did, but they're not always going to say that to you. And praise the Lord, you never know what a blessing you can be to someone else if you help them get addicted to the ministry. Now let me just interject here and compare a physical addiction to a spiritual addiction. As I said earlier, if you have a physical addiction, it isn't something that you need to work at to attain, and usually takes great effort to get rid of. But a spiritual addiction is something that you need to work at to attain, but once you get addicted, you will never want to get rid of it. See, the result of a physical addiction is that you'll probably want to get rid of that addiction because in most cases will cause more harm than good. And usually for the rest of your life, you'll have to struggle with staying away from that addiction. But the result of a spiritual addiction, getting addicted to the ministry, the joy of serving God, is that you'll never want to leave it. Ever. And it will bring you consistent joy, bring you good, godly friends, and it will reap eternal rewards. The outcome, the byproduct of getting addicted to the ministry, hooked on serving God, is out of this world, eternally speaking. You serve God, you get abundant life here on earth, and then you have treasures in heaven. Praise the Lord. There's so many byproducts of serving God, of getting addicted to the ministry. Well, let me ask you today, what are the benefits of being spiritually addicted? What are the benefits of being spiritually addicted? Number one, other Christians get excited around you. Verse 17 of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians says, I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Acacius. I hear all the time, because I'm here in the morning on Sunday mornings, and I get out, every now and then I hear people come through and say, man, Brother Griffin has a smile on his face all the time I talk to him. Every time you see Brother Griffin as an usher, when you walk in, he's got a handshake out, a smile on his face. What is he doing? He's helping to be a blessing to somebody else. Listen, he's glad. We are glad when we see Brother Griffin. Why? The man has a smile on his face. He excites us. And I guarantee you, if Brother Griffin goes on vacation or is gone for a week or two, you're going to know it. Because you're so excited to see, that first handshake, that first smile, which helps, makes you glad, which makes you excited. Listen, how many of us don't understand what an opportunity we have to make others excited? How many of us, we can make other people excited by just being excited about serving God, keeping that smile on you, on your face? If you like serving God in your heart, let your smile know it too. Let your mouth know it too. So people can see, man, you're excited about serving God. Even when times get rough, keep the smile on your face. So if nothing else, you can help somebody else. You can be a blessing to somebody else. You can make somebody else glad whenever they see you. I know some of us growing up might have a story of somebody you know that was always the downer, the dark cloud. I had a friend like that in Bible college. We called him Dark Cloud. That was his name. It was self-inflicted, actually. But he got that name because he's always complaining about everything. Man, so much homework to do. Oh, my goodness, you see the price of gas. Oh, my goodness, I got to drive how far to work? Oh, far to church? How far to work? I was like, oh, brother. Every time you see him, you're like, You know, by the end of the time you're talking to him, you're really not encouraged or excited. But if you keep a smile on your face, I'm telling you, if you're happy, if you're excited, people are going to walk, they're just going to, like a magnet, come right to you. Because they love it when you have that smile on your face. They're excited to see you because you cheer them up. And you might have had the worst day in the world, but if you keep a smile on your face, If you get excited, you'll make other people excited. And by the way, when you start getting addicted to that ministry, when you start wanting to serve God, getting into serving God, you'll want to have a smile on your face. You can't help but have a smile on your face. You can't help but serving God, loving to serve God. And listen, the byproduct of being addicted to the ministry is you are a blessing, or you make other people happy. You encourage other people, just like Stephanus did and his friends. Another second byproduct of being addicted to the ministry, I kind of touched on this earlier, is you're refreshing to other Christians. You're refreshing to other Christians. In verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says, "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." Now, I think it's safe to say that Paul was pretty much addicted to the ministry. He loved serving God. Whenever there was something going on hard, he was always joyful. He was always encouraged. He was always up. He loved to serve God. But even Paul got down sometimes. He said in verse 18, "For they have refreshed my spirit." How many of you know somebody that refreshes your spirit? Whenever you talk to them, they make you excited. Whenever you talk to them, if you're having a tough day or something, you just spend a few minutes with them. You walk out of there feeling better. I mean, it's good to talk to them. You love talking to them. Paul loved Stephanus because he refreshed his spirit. Listen, gang, the whole point of being addicted to the ministry is you start submit yourself to serving God. And when you do it week after week after week, you're going to start getting a real burden for it. And when you start getting a real burden for it, then you're not going to want to stop doing it. And then when you start not want to stop doing it, you keep doing it week after week, month after month, year after year, you're going to start helping other people, because just by your faithfulness, you're going to have a smile on your face. And I know it's not always going to be easy times, but for the most part, you're always going to have a smile on your face. And when other people come around, you're going to just be a refreshment to them, they're going to love to see you, and you're going to be a help, and it's good all the way around. Listen, get addicted to the ministry. Get addicted to the ministry. There's nothing like it. Man, Brother Jason, I don't know about getting on that bus. Man, Brother Jason, I don't know about going full one. Man, Brother Jason, I don't know about doing this and that. I've heard things, or my schedule's so tight. You're missing out. I'm just being honest with you. You're missing out. When I first got saved at 21, the Lord finally led me to Heritage Baptist Church in Wallingford, Connecticut. And when he led me there, I just started learning what it was living the Christian life. Because I was one of those growing up, heard all the bad stories about church. Heard how it was boring and how it was nothing but you go to church once a week and that was about it. That's all I heard. But when I got to a good, solid, Bible-believing, preaching church, and they started preaching about God and living your life and living the testimony and actually serving God, and it's more than just coming to church once a week, man, I started getting addicted to the ministry. I always wanted to come whenever the church doors were open. I didn't want to leave. I always wanted to be there. And I started seeing things change in my life. Man, this Bible became alive to me. My prayer closet wasn't a waste of time. I actually was looking forward to go praying to God every day. Listen, gang, if you start, just get involved in the ministry, get plugged in somewhere, you're going to see things change in your life for the better. This Bible's going to come alive to you. The prayer closet's going to come alive to you. You're going to start being a blessing to other people. You're going to have a smile on your face most of the time, and you're going to start refreshing other people, helping other people. Praise the Lord for getting addicted to the ministry. And it's ours for the taking, by the way. You can never get enough of it. God will never run out of it. You can always, for the rest of your life, be addicted to the ministry and serve God with your life and never regret it. So in closing, let me challenge you today. I'm just going to put a challenge right in front of you. If you're not serving anywhere, get plugged in. I encourage you. I'm not just saying it to get a plug for Pastor Angel or because I'm a staff here. I'm not saying that. But I understand, because I decided one day to serve God. I'm not talking about being full-time Christian service. I decided to give my life to the Lord and just go somewhere. My first time I got plugged in was in soul winning. I said, you know what, God, I'm going to try this soul winning thing. I don't know much about it. I don't know how to do it, but I'm just going to try it. And I never regretted it since. So I challenge you, Christian. Get plugged in somewhere. Just do something little. Maybe help out with a basket. I know, on Tuesday mornings, Brother Caleb has these baskets, these blankets they make for new moms and little gifts for them. Maybe you can do something simple like that. Help make one of those little bags. Or there's a whole bunch of things you can do around this church, little things, to help get plugged in. Well, Brother Jason, why would I want to do that? because you'll get addicted to the ministry. You'll start seeing joy in your heart. This Bible will come alive to you. The prayer closet will come alive to you. You'll not want to stop serving God. You'll see your whole life turn upside down for the Lord. I'm telling you, get addicted to the ministry. I challenge you today. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Simple message today. Paul was talking about Stephanus and how they were addicted to the ministry. I'm going to ask a young person, an old person, in between anywhere from 0 to 100 years old. If you're here today, I'm going to challenge you. As music plays, if you're not plugged in somewhere, maybe the Lord's been speaking at your heart, maybe way before this message. Maybe today the Lord spoke to your heart by getting plugged in somewhere. Just someplace simple, someplace little, just for starters. If He spoke in your heart, don't resist it. Because you'll never know what you're missing until you actually start serving and getting plugged in. I challenge you, young person, as the music plays today, if He spoke to your heart, come forward. And also, let me ask you another question. If you're here, I spoke in the beginning about being saved, being a child of God. If you're here in this room and you can say, Brother Jason, I know for sure without a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to heaven. Because I remember a time and a place where I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If that's your testimony, just raise your hands. Amen. See those hands? Ask you another question. But if you're in this room and you say, Brother Jason, I'm one of those people that said, I think I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going, I hope I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure about heaven. If you're not sure you're saved today, young person, would you just kindly raise your hand up and say, Brother Jason, I'm not saved. I know it. No one's going to embarrass you. No one's going to call you out. Maybe you're here today for baptism. You've been saved already. You're a child of God. And you want to come forward to follow God in believer's baptism. Be obedient to the Lord. If you want to be baptized today when the music plays, you come forward. And finally, if you're not a member of this church and you've been really burdened about becoming a member of this church, and you want to be a member, just this morning come forward, talk to Brother Caleb about becoming a member of this church. So if you haven't been saved before, you're not baptized, you're not a member of the church, or if the Lord's put on your heart a burden to get to serve somewhere, to get addicted to the ministry, as music plays, you come.